Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Toe Meets Leather podcast. I'm Logan, and we've got a full lineup here today. Coming to us from North Carolina, he's not a cow. He's a pickle when he feels like it. We got Andrew. How's it going, Andrew? Apparently, he doesn't feel like being heard every now and then. Down in Peachtree City or near.
Technical difficulties. I'm glad to be here, Logan. I apologize for that.
Meanwhile, in Peachtree City, we've got a man who wishes you were made of cream cheese. How's it going, Tommy?
What? That's not true at all. Like, neither part. I'm not in Peachtree City, and I don't wish Andrew was made of cream cheese, for sure.
Don't lie. We all know your love of cream cheese.
Just because I love cream cheese doesn't wish you were made of it. I don't want to eat you. That's just real gross.
All right. And out in Texas, we have a man who I didn't have a chance to write a funny intro for. We have Artem. How's it going, Artem?
Hey, glad to be here.
He's starting. He says with a smirk on his face. It's like, I'm really starting to regret being here right about now. Anyway. So today we wanted to just kick off with the Big Ten, but due to some technical difficulties unrelated to Andrew's issue, we actually lost all of our Big 12 data. So really quick, I'm just going to do a recap of all the crap that we talked about in the Big 12 that, you know, since we didn't even really want to discuss them anyway, I'm just going to do a quick recap and y'all can tell me anything that I miss out on. So
Logan, is us losing the Big 12 data not the most Big 12 thing to ever happen?
That sounds about right. Well, no, because we didn't get any funding from Texas. That's required. You have to get some Longhorn Network money involved. Now we can put, if we put together a PowerPoint for them, that would be the most Big 12 thing ever. Basically, our discussion came down to it's either going to be Oklahoma or Oklahoma State. Oklahoma's, of course, is probably going to dominate in that conference. We expect them to, but due to them losing Bob Stoops, their longtime coach, it's hard to say. Things could change very drastically for them, especially in some big-time matchups. We are confident that at the end of the day, it's going to become a conference championship between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. I think Tommy and Artem are leaning towards Oklahoma State. I actually feel that Kansas State has a dark horse chance, but at the end of the day, it's probably going to be Oklahoma or Oklahoma State's game to lose. On a side note, we did think that Kansas would win at least three games, and we still think that Baylor is terrible, not just as a football program, but their, you know, general life stances. And I don't know. Texas isn't paying their coach enough. Anybody else got any thoughts?
Yeah, I picked Oklahoma, not Oklahoma State. Just want to make sure that's on the record.
Okay, so Artem, you were the one who picked Oklahoma State, right?
Oklahoma State, they're going to get crushed. I mean, OU. OU's going to get crushed because they suck.
It's very confusing when you're talking about the state of Oklahoma and Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. It's very confusing. That's kind of why I wanted to pick Kansas. Andrew, you weren't actually there for the cast. Do you have anything that you want to add?
No, I think that makes sense. I think the championship's going to run through the state of Oklahoma. It's going to be interesting, though. I believe this is the first year they've got a championship game. So there's a distinct possibility that we get the Bedlam game between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, and then we have to play it again a week later.
Yeah, that makes everything a little weirder slash better in my book. What happens if one team wins the rivalry game but then goes back and loses the championship game? I'm not sure how to feel about that. Distinct possibility, though. That's Big 12, hashtag Big 12 things. All right, moving on. The conference that we actually wanted to talk about this week. We're going into the Big 10. The Big 10 has been an interesting ride, I think, since Jim Harbaugh showed up in Michigan. I think everybody still believes that Ohio State's top dog, but Michigan's made great strides. That said, the big thing that stood out last year probably wasn't the regular season. It was more so how badly the Big Ten got stomped in the bowl season. Michigan obviously had a close run with Florida State, but Ohio State, what was it, 33-0, or was it 32-0? It was bad, regardless, against Clemson. And then Penn State was the only team that really came out, and I feel like that team kind of came out of left field for a lot of people. They weren't expecting them to bounce back so quickly due to all the struggles and everything. Looking forward to the Big Ten this year, there's just a lot of things that could happen. It's a pretty unpredictable conference with a lot of good coaches that have been building up for a while now. Tommy, you kind of got that 1,000-yard stare like you've seen some things. You care to share your thoughts going into this year? Tommy?
Sorry, I was on mute. The Big Ten's definitely interesting because it's very one division heavy in the East with Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State. And then when you look at the West, it's really just Wisconsin and then everybody else trying to chase them. So, but even though Wisconsin is the clear favorite and probably the easiest division winner pick in all of college football, they're still not favored to win the entire conference. So it's just really interesting that they have a seemingly easy path in and aren't necessarily going to get beat up as hard as the other team, but they still are heavy underdogs to win the actual conference.
And I see you don't have any faith in Nebraska to win more than 9 games like they do every year, and you don't have any faith in Iowa to come back.
Well, I mean, Nebraska doesn't have Bo Pelini, so they're not guaranteed 9 wins anymore.
Ooh, okay. Fair enough. So you actually think they go under on that one?
Under or over, I'm just pretty sure they're not allowed to win 9 games since they fired Bo Pelini.
Fair enough. I feel like Bo Pelini should be a sandwich. It sounds like a sandwich, doesn't it? Anyway. All right. For those of you who can't tell, I might be a little tipsy. Artem, do you got anything to say on the Big Ten before we go into the players to watch out for this year?
I think Tommy pretty much hit it on the spot. I think Penn State's going to be the team to watch this year. I do think it's going to be a little bit of a down year for the Big Ten because I think Ohio State and Michigan both lost some key players. Although Michigan has a lot of kind of talent coming back, they lost kind of the spark that they have. It'll be interesting to see how they replace those. I think they lost both wide receivers and the guy that played almost every position for them. Penn State, I think, only lost one receiver. And he wasn't their big number one wide receiver. So it'll be interesting to see kind of potentially Penn State taking that top spot, and interesting to see how they do against Wisconsin in the title game.
Man, everybody's just banking on Wisconsin. Nobody's got any faith in anybody else. All right, well, I'm just going to straight up skip over Andrew because fuck him, right? Well, yeah, everybody seems to agree with that. But I will lead in with you. Andrew, what are your players to watch out for this year? You're either eating dinner or you're looking them up. So tell me, what are your thoughts on that?
I think the big question is going to be some of the young players on defense at Michigan. They're in the number one defense statistically in a bunch of categories last year. The DC, Don Brown, is back. But they're only bringing back one starter off of last year's defense. So it's really going to be interesting to see how, even though they did play a bunch of young guys last year, so some of those guys did get some experience, it's tough to only have one starter coming back. And that's really going to be where I think Michigan's season is kind of won and lost. They recruited better, but in terms of returning starters, they actually don't have very many on the offensive side of the ball either. You know, the other one's going to be JT Barrett, to see how, you know, he kind of rebounds as the quarterback at Ohio State. You know, he had a great sophomore year. He kind of had a bit of a junior slump. So he's going to be another one that I'm interested to see what he does and how he adapts to some of the new talent and some of the more experienced guys around him. You know, Ohio State returns a lot more guys than some of the other teams.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because I think even though he did kind of have a slump, the question kind of becomes, was he even really challenged? Was there anybody he was really worried about challenging? The only teams that I can think of, and I mean, Tommy and Artem have kind of touched on this already, the only teams I can think of that you'd really need to be concerned about are Penn State and Michigan. I mean, even in the division, you've got Indiana, Maryland, Rutgers, and then your other one is Michigan State, who is clearly having a down year, or last year they certainly were. I don't know. Maybe they come out and surprise everybody. But if JT Barrett plays half
as well. Yeah, but they get Oklahoma at home, and they have to travel to Nebraska and to Iowa, which, I mean, there's not a lot in Nebraska and Iowa other than corn. But if we learn anything from children of the corn, that's something you need to be afraid of. So I can understand what you're saying there. He might not be tested, but there are some tough games on the schedule that may not, you know, I mean, he also does get to play Rutgers, which we're not even sure if Rutgers is still a program.
Well, also, I don't know that Iowa will be the same after they go up against your championship Wyoming team early in the year. So we'll just have to keep an eye out for that.
Don't sleep on the Cowboys.
Tommy, what are your thoughts going in? Are you looking for any particular players?
Yeah, so Michigan brought in this wide receiver, Donovan Peoples-Jones, who looks to be the real deal. The guy is a high school highlight tape is pretty ridiculous if you watch it. It's basically like anybody who played the old NCAA games where you do your senior year and you just put somebody with like full stats in there against high school players. So he should be really interesting. Nebraska's bringing in Tanner Lee as their quarterback, who could be really interesting and really do some good things there. And then obviously the guy to really watch on the defensive side of the ball is Josie Jewell at Iowa. The guy is like pretty much on the same level, I would say, as Malik Jefferson at Texas. Just next level NFL bound linebacker. Coming out of Iowa too, we know Iowa is good with linebackers. They've created a lot of them in the NFL. So those are probably the three guys I'd keep an eye on.
All right. Artem, what are your thoughts? Anybody in particular that we haven't touched on yet?
A couple guys, actually. I'd go with I want to see what Trace McSorley does at Penn State this year. Last year he had a couple really big highlights where he tossed the ball up and the wide receiver would just go get it from him for 60 yards, 55 yards. He just throw it up, and he put it in places where other people couldn't get it, but his guy could. So I think that guy actually got drafted in the NFL this last time around, but they have a guy coming behind him who's just as fast, just as big. So we'll see how you know, how defenses adjust to what he does and if they're able to stop that kind of play with a couple of seconds left. I'd also interested in seeing who comes out of Minnesota. I feel like PJ Fleck's the new coach there, and he has a really good way to kind of bring out the best in his players. So I think we're going to see a highlight player come out of Minnesota very soon, and it'll be very fun to watch for everybody. It'll make the college football world a little different. The third guy I would watch is the replacement kicker on Michigan State. I think it's going to be tough to replace that kind of excitement after making game-winning field goals. So I'm interested to see who the new kicker from Michigan State is going to be and if he has a better celebration than the previous guy.
Yeah, I'm curious about Minnesota as well with PJ Fleck. He has got a schedule set up to actually do really well if they perform in a couple of key games. So he might be my guy to watch for, not even necessarily a player, just a coach to kind of keep an eye out for, especially to challenge. But I'm a little surprised. Andrew didn't pick out any Purdue quarterbacks or anything to watch out for. I was kind of hoping anybody that's going to transfer next year that we should be watching out for. Anyway.
I mean, which SEC programs are going to be looking for quarterbacks next year? They'll find one. Maybe there's like a guy buried in the depth chart at Rutgers that can do it.
God, Rutgers, man. I feel bad for them. I feel bad that I don't feel bad for them. All right. Next up on our list, you know, we've kind of got this lined up on everybody's, but I think this should kind of stand out in particular with the teams that you're looking for. Artem, you got any thoughts on which coaches are going to be looking, going to be on the hot seat this year in terms of performance?
It's tough. I don't think anybody's really in the hot seat because either A, nobody gives a crap about their team or they didn't get paid enough, or they're, you know, kind of coming off a really good year, or they're completely new. So I don't think anybody's really on the hot seat yet. That's, like I said, my opinion, but I don't want to watch out for PJ Fleck to see kind of what he does. I know you noted on that. He obviously is not going to get fired if he has a bad season, but I don't think there's a lot of coaches in the hot seat yet.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I was struggling looking at just eyeball tests with these teams. I have a hard time seeing anybody in particular that's on the hot seat, or at least a big name that's on the hot seat. I think they're certainly going to be looking for PJ Fleck to perform, especially with the schedule he's got. He starts off Buffalo at Oregon State, then Middle Tennessee. Then he gets a bye week into Maryland, plays at Purdue, then Michigan State, then Illinois. They could be 7-0. There's a potential that they could be 7-0 going on a road trip to Iowa. So, I mean, I don't know that for certain that that's going to play out that way, but it's a distinct possibility, which is a good sign for Minnesotans. Andrew, I mean, you're more closely affiliated with
I think you've got two of them. I think one of them is Mike Riley at Nebraska, who has gone 15-11 in his 2 years at Nebraska. And Nebraska is a place that, for better or for worse, have illusions that the college football world is still 1995 and they are still a national player. You know, we could debate whether they ever will be again until the cows come home. But I think Mike Riley really kind of needs to have a breakthrough year. You know, they fired Bo Pelini for winning 9 games a year, and they won 9 games last year. So I think if you start seeing more 9-win seasons, or especially if they regress and fall below that, which is distinctly possible given that their crossovers are at Penn State and Ohio State, you know, that's one to look at. And then the guy who is eternally on the hot seat, and that's Kirk Ferentz at Iowa, who will have, you know, 6-7 win seasons for 4 or 5 years in a row, and the Iowa fans will get restless and get ready to fire him. And then he all of a sudden explodes and wins 10 games, gets a 5-year extension, and the same thing happens over again. 4 years into that extension, we start wondering, is Kirk Ferentz going to get fired?
Well, and that's the irony, because I remember reading 2 years ago, there was like an article about how, like, oh, he was the Farmers, like, coach. He was the people love him and all this stuff. And I'm like, now it's only been a year, and it's funny how quickly things will turn around.
Yeah, well, like I said, up until there, was their undefeated year 2 years ago where they played for the Big Ten title? You know, there were a lot of rumors and discussions of, should we fire Kirk Ferentz? They're going to get even louder because he's brought his son in to be the offensive coordinator.
So, but I don't know. And so I don't, maybe I just don't know as much about these guys, but Purdue, they brought in a new athletic director. I don't know. I don't know where he's from.
I'm going to give a giant heaping fuck you to Mike Babinski. I'm glad Purdue took that son of a bitch. I don't miss him.
Tell us how you really feel, Andrew. Shit.
And if you listen, Mike, we've only ever met in passing. I don't know you on a personal level. I'm sure you're a fantastic human being, but I don't feel you're a really great athletic director. But it is Jeff Brohm's first season, so I don't think Brohm's really on the hot seat at a place like Purdue. So
I mean, it's both of their first seasons, but I mean, it's also Purdue, so you never know.
Yeah, I mean, they're a basketball school anyway.
Fair enough. All right. But yeah, nothing about Rutgers, nothing about Illinois, nothing about well, Indiana.
Well, I mean, Chris Ash is in his second season, so you're going to want to see the right direction, but you're probably not going to fire a guy after year two. It's the same thing with Lovie Smith at Illinois. It's in his second year, and, you know, you could fire a guy after 2 years, but you really haven't given him the time to do anything to build a program, so.
All right. Well, I hate to keep neglecting you, Tommy, so what are your thoughts? Anybody we should be watching out for?
The other person would be Mark D'Antoni, coming after off a 3-9 season. I know they went 12-2 and won the conference in 2015, but if they don't make a bowl game this year, I wouldn't be surprised, because, you know, even 2 years ago when they went to a bowl, they lost. So if he doesn't make a bowl game this year, if they don't make 6 wins, he's someone that I would take a look at. And then I definitely agree with Kirk Ferentz, because he's lost 4 straight bowl games. So even though, and he hasn't really won the conference since 2004, so it's been a long time, and he's only won the division once in that time. So it's once again one of those situations where I think it would be bad to get rid of him, because I think what he brings to Iowa is better than whoever else they could get. I think a lot of the up-and-coming talents have been picked up this past offseason. I think a lot of teams turned over. So the market for the next big up-and-coming guy is a little shallow right now. I think we're still a couple years out before the next slew of big names will come through. So I keep an eye on Michigan State and Iowa, even though those probably would not be the best guys to fire at this point.
Well, I'm also wondering, would teams be eager to fire those kind of coaches? Because even though I don't know about the contracts and everything, but in those situations, you're kind of where the SEC has been for the past few years. You know, even if you hire a new coach, do you really expect to be able to compete anytime soon? I don't know that I would agree with firing a coach who's been pretty consistent in Michigan State with D'Antonio, but I mean, I can see where you're coming from, though. It's definitely a challenge. You don't want to keep having 3-win seasons, especially at a program that's, I consider them pretty well known in Michigan State.
If Iowa hires Kirk Ferentz, I guarantee you they will make a run at Brett Bielema at Arkansas.
You mean fires?
Yeah, if they fire Kirk Ferentz, yeah, okay. I guarantee you they'll go after Brett Bielema.
Okay, well, that's
it. And if not him, then I expect them to make a run at Lovie Smith at Illinois as well, because they have the money to poach if they need to.
I mean, especially if Bielema doesn't have a great year at Arkansas this year.
I just want to see Lovie Smith do well. Is that so wrong? I keep hating seeing him ending up at bad programs. And yes, I include the Chicago Bears, and that is a bad program. All right. So, next up on the list, we're going to take it a little easier. So I think we'll start with the easy division, but we're going to talk about teams we expect to compete in each division. So we're going to start with the East because it's nice and simple, and I think we all kind of have the same thought process. So Tommy...
You mean the West?
No, the East. What are the three teams that are going to compete in the East? You tell me.
Oh, I thought you meant who was going to win it all.
No, you already... Yeah,
it's definitely Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan.
Okay, fair. Yeah, fair enough. You think?
Thanks for the softball. I appreciate it.
You got a dark horse in that conference or division? I mean, it would have to
I don't think there's a dark horse, per se, because, I mean, when you're talking about Indiana, Maryland, and Rutgers, like... Okay, but I think Michigan State is definitely the hardest team to judge right now. You know, we know Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State have the talent and or experience to be competitive teams on the national landscape. Michigan State coming off a 3-9 year, it's hard to bounce back, especially in as tough of a division as they're in. From that type of season, but there's just a lot about that program we don't know, and unfortunately we won't really know anything for the first 3 weeks with them too, unless they lose to Bowling Green or Western Michigan.
Fair enough. Oh, all right. Okay, now you can go to the West Division if you want, Tommy. I'll go ahead and let you hit on it since you seemed really excited earlier. Tommy put himself on mute. Artem, do you care to talk about the East Division?
Sure. In the East, I agree with Tommy. It's Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State. I put Maryland as the dark horse just because of their uniforms. You know, they rock every year. Hopefully they'll scare some opponents this year with those uniforms. Yeah, it's a joke. They're garbage. But maybe Indiana. I thought they had a pretty good run last year. They won a couple games. I think they started 5-0 or 6-0, and then they just kind of combusted and crashed and burned on their own. It'd be interesting to see if they had a chance this year because they didn't have a lot of guys drafted. I think 2 years ago their running back left, so they should have a pretty good stable build back up again. As far as the West, I'd say it's a battle between – I think Wisconsin's going to win it, but I think Nebraska might be second with – hopefully Minnesota being successful in that conference and being tied for that spot, or maybe even challenging Wisconsin. Maybe.
You have no faith in Iowa at all.
No, they lost their pro style QB, and we saw how that impacted Michigan this past year as well. I think they had the guy hurt as well. I think it'll take a while for them to build back up. They had I believe they had a senior offensive line when they had that guy too, so they lost a couple of guys.
And just to be clear, you also have no faith in Northwestern.
I think Northwestern is going to definitely beat some of these guys, and that's what they'll give them. They always give at least one or two of them trouble, but I don't think they'll be able to compete for anywhere above average in that part of the conference.
Okay. And then, of course, the Nike bump going to Maryland. Yeah, I would love to see whatever Nike decides to come out with for that program. Andrew, I'll actually start on the West for you because I know you like talking about the Nerd Bowl. Now that Northwestern is playing their second game at Duke, how do you think they're going to compete out there?
You know, I went all in to Northwestern last year, and early on in the season, they let me down, and later on in the season, they let me down again. So, you know, I want to do it again because Justin Jackson is a fantastic running back and has a chance to be Northwestern's all-time leading rusher. Clayton Thorson's been a pretty good quarterback for them. He's 17-9. In 2 years as a starter, which is pretty good. Fitzgerald's done a great job in Northwestern. But, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, won't get shamed again. You know, I think it's got to be Wisconsin and Nebraska. With a nod to Wisconsin, they've got an easier crossover schedule, if I remember correctly. Well, they do have to play Michigan, but then they also get Maryland.
Yeah, they do have probably one of the easiest schedules. I think Minnesota has to play Michigan, and
plus Wisconsin gets to play Michigan in November at Wisconsin, where everyone freezes to death. So, yeah, I think Wisconsin's got to be the favorite out of the West. Alex Hornibrook came on last year and did a pretty good job. They're always going to run the ball well. They're always going to have giant, huge offensive linemen because I swear to God they grow them out of the ground in that state. I guess that's what happened when you farm and do whatever else you do in Wisconsin all the time.
Yeah, you got to get the soil right, man. That's what it's all about.
I mean, Alabama seems to do a pretty good job with it too. So
everybody else has done Pilates and yoga this offseason. Wisconsin's just still eating rice and grain.
Yeah, they're eating nothing but cheese curds and carrying tractor tires on their back.
Nobody has any faith in Minnesota, though. Seriously. Oh, my God. Come on, guys.
Hey, I called up Minnesota. I said they're going to be tied for second.
Oh, tied for
shooting high for them.
Tied for second. Wow. I don't know. I just feel like I should have more expectations with the schedule they got, but I guess they do go on the road to Michigan, so that kind of sucks. Yeah. Sorry, Tommy, are you available now? Okay, Tommy is still...
Of course you can't hear me because I'm on mute.
Well, there you go. Okay, now do you care to step in and tell us about why Wisconsin is going to win the West?
I mean, the fact of the matter is that Iowa doesn't have the offense. And Nebraska, well, I mean, they might have a shot, but I just don't think, like Andrew said, their route... and their crossover is still pretty difficult, even though they do get to play Rutgers. So I'm pretty sure Wisconsin's going to win that game, and that's all that's going to matter.
I mean, yeah, it's hard to argue. I mean, if you look at the rest of their schedule, that is pretty much the only game. They've got Iowa, and they've got – well, they got the road game at Nebraska. That's probably the other tough game. And then I guess there's on the road at BYU. But the rest of their tough games are all at home. So, yeah, Wisconsin's got a good shot, just as much as anybody else. Andrew, I think we pretty well covered it, but we never did officially ask you about the East. What is your stance on over there?
I'm going to shock the world because we've kind of all agreed. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan. To me, I almost want to say Penn State's the favorite. They've got more guys coming back. They have less questions across the board. You know, but you can't count out Urban Meyer. And, you know, I want to hate Jim Harbaugh. Part of me really does hate Jim Harbaugh. But the man can coach and has done a fantastic job everywhere he's been. So it's tough to count him out. I think D'Antonio has a bit of a rebound at Michigan State. I think they get back to to winning and going to a bowl game. And then I think Maryland and Indiana are your other two. Indiana's got to break in a new coach since Kevin Wilson got himself in trouble for abusing players and all that stuff, which I'm just going to go on the record. This program does not condone that kind of behavior, Kevin Wilson. And then they all get to play Rutgers, so there's an automatic win right there.
I mean, yeah, to be fair. Sorry about the bad news, Rutgers. You know, I am curious how that week one matchup is going to work out for Michigan. Florida playing one of the few SEC games that isn't against the ACC in week one. That'll be a fun matchup to watch. All right. On that note, we're actually going into our games to watch this year. So, Artem, I'll start with you this time around. What are your big three games to watch in the Big Ten? And I know this is a challenge for you because no one really watches the Big Ten play football. But what are your thoughts? If you had to watch three, which ones would you choose to watch?
I'd put Michigan in two of them, honestly. I would do Michigan versus Ohio State, Michigan versus Michigan State. Those two games have been pretty eventful over the last 2 years with the blocked punt or the last second scoring, last minute scoring. And then I'd honestly choose either I think Nebraska versus Minnesota, because both of those teams have, I believe, high expectations going into this season. They're coming back with a lot of people and kind of their fan base expects a lot, right? Kind of like Tommy and you guys already mentioned, Nebraska wants to get over that 9-win bump and get 10 wins or maybe win the conference. And Minnesota, you know, has had a good run, but I think they got an exciting coach in and they're hoping that he'll provide kind of the boost to get to that 9-10 win mark.
All right. Tommy, what are your big three matchups?
I think Michigan State, Notre Dame on September 23rd. Is one to definitely look for. I think Indiana hosting Georgia Southern on September 23rd is also a game worth watching. And then I really want to see Louisville and Purdue play. I think that's going to be a great, fun game to watch. Lots and lots of
scoring. Louisville missed 450 points.
that'll be amazing, though. I mean, that there will be a Heisman video just in that game alone. Just
like, what I'm really interested to see is, will Louisville score more points against Purdue than Washington does against Rutgers in week one?
So that's really the matchup to watch for, the offensive output of Washington and Louisville versus Big Ten teams. Got it. All right, Andrew, first off, before I go to Andrew, Tommy, I'm pissed at you. You took my game, man. Indiana, Georgia Southern. How the hell did you know? You knew, you son of a bitch. All right, Andrew, tell us what your big three games are.
I think week two, Ohio State, Oklahoma, in the Horseshoe in Columbus is going to be a really, really big game. Especially after Ohio State went down and pretty much dominated that game against an Oklahoma team that turned out to be pretty good towards the end of the year. I think it's going to be Lincoln Riley's first big test as the head guy at Oklahoma. And again, it'll be JT Barrett's opportunity to kind of shake off the demons somewhat of the last game that he played. Wait a minute. They open at Indiana? That doesn't make any sense. Oh, say, why do you open at Indiana? That game's not important, but that's kind of weird. Why do you have a conference game first week of the season, Ohio State? What is wrong with you? Wait, sorry about that sidetrack. You know, I think the Penn State-Ohio State game in Ohio State's going to be a big one, especially with Penn State winning last year. You know, that's one. And then, as we touched on earlier, as a fan of quality academic institutions with football programs, I think the Nerd Bowl or Northwestern hopefully goes into Durham and beats the ever-living dog shit out of the Duke Blue Devils. Hopefully. I think it's going to be a pretty exciting game.
I hope so, too. I mean, that one was fun to watch last year just for the chaos purposes. But, yeah, I didn't notice that. Ohio State actually opens up the season A on the road and B against Indiana, of all people. Okay, well, yeah. Go figure.
What the hell, Big Ten?
Well, I was trying to look for less interesting matchups that still kind of caught my eye. Tommy took one of them, but I found a few others. So first off, Purdue gets my Ohio Bobcats at home. I think that'll be a big statement game for the Bobcats. Come out and dominate a Big Ten team, if you really need to call it wet. But I think that'll be a good road game for Ohio to kind of dominate and just kind of continue their road of dominance down the road of which they will dominate. Anyway, next I'm going to pick Western Michigan at Western Michigan and Michigan State, just because I always like seeing Western Michigan play. And also the Crap Bowl. I got to come up with a better name for this, but Rutgers versus Eastern Michigan, because somebody's going to have to win that game. And I'm not sure who it's going to be. It's probably going to be Eastern Michigan, but maybe that'll be Rutgers' one win of the year. It's hard to say. They do play Morgan State after that, so maybe I'm dissing them a little too much. So, yeah, all of my Big Ten, all my favorite Big Ten games are actually MAC. Are they MAC games? No. Yeah. Anyway. So that's my thoughts. Suck it, Big Ten. Anyway, moving on. Conference championship game. So I think we've all kind of got a general idea. The problem is, which of the three teams are you going to pick on the west side, I think, or on the east side? Because I know Andrew doesn't want to pick Michigan. And I know most of us don't want to pick Penn State because their mascot is ugly. It's like they went to the craft store and just crazy glued a bunch of stuff onto each other. But
I also really don't have a very positive opinion of James Franklin.
Well, then in that case, do you want to go ahead and start us off? Are you going to pick Ohio State versus Wisconsin?
No, because I still think Penn State's the best team, even though I don't care for James Franklin. And I'm going to do it again because I didn't learn last year. Northwestern breaks through and wins the West this time. Pat Fitzgerald, don't let me down.
And you're going to do it again next year because
I don't learn. If learning from your mistakes is the best way to go through life, then just kill me now.
Well, it's ironic that the man who doesn't learn is cheering for Northwestern of all people. But okay, fair enough. Artem, you're up next. What are your thoughts? Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan?
I think it's going to be Penn State versus Wisconsin.
Really?
As much as I don't want it to be that predictable.
Really? Because you were really hyping up Michigan going into this cast. So I just am kind of shocked that you're also on the Penn State bandwagon.
Yeah, they have a lot of talent coming back. They didn't really lose many people. Ohio State also lost most of their secondary. And then Michigan just kind of looked sluggish last year, even with all that talent they had. And like Tommy said, they lost a bunch of their defense, so it'll be interesting to see how they replace it. So I think Ohio State and Michigan will beat each other up, and that'll probably leave a one or maybe two loss Penn State going into the title game.
Okay. Tommy, are you going to make it a uniform? Is it just going to be Penn State? And
I don't think Trace McSorley has the consistency. Guys clearly got the talent, but I mean, they scored like 60 points in the first quarter all season last year. And think how many garbage teams they get to play every year. So I just don't think Trace McSorley has proven that he can put up the consistent numbers and can stay hot long enough to actually win it. So I think Ohio State's going to win it. And I think it's because Michigan has a grand whopping total of 6 starters coming back. So it's kind of hard to lose that much experience and beat teams like Ohio State and Penn State. So I think Ohio State's going to win that. Wisconsin's going to win the other side. And then Ohio State will beat Wisconsin for the title.
And then Ohio State will lose by 33 points to Florida State. Got it. All right. Cool. I am going to pick Michigan because I have never been one to let logic stop me from making dumb decisions. I'll also pick Minnesota. So it'll be Michigan and Minnesota. And I pick Michigan to go possibly to the playoffs. I assume you're all picking your picks to make it to the playoffs. Just not really because of any confidence, but just because they're in the Big Ten and it wouldn't make any sense for them not to be in the playoffs. Tommy, I'll go back to you.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Artem?
Oh, we already went around to me. I think it's going to be Penn State. I think they're going to beat out Wisconsin, and they're going to go to the playoffs.
Okay. Well, no, I wasn't really going around to you. I was just picking you because I didn't want to talk to Andrew's knee for whatever reason.
It's okay. Yeah, I think Penn State will go on to the actual college playoffs.
Okay. Andrew, you have that kind of confidence? Is your pick Penn State going to be in the playoff?
Yeah, I think if they win the Big Ten, they're going to be in the playoff.
Okay. So we've all got a Big Ten team in the playoff. All right. I will keep that.
I'm pretty sure I'm to the point that I've picked like six playoff teams. For four spots.
Well, I mean, you're no worse off than the committee is then in that case. All right, so with all that,
I think Logan froze.
Did I freeze or did everybody else freeze? Okay, well, technical difficulties caused us to end the stream a little early, but I hope you all enjoyed this cast. Hope we weren't too ridiculous, and I will see y'all next time. If you have any questions or comments, send us an email at toemeatleather@gmail.com. Otherwise, we will talk to you later. Have a good one. Bye-bye.